Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, tonight, get your Bibles out and go with me to Acts chapter number 27. We're going to be talking about living through life's storms. Acts chapter number 27. The Apostle Paul has had quite a time. He was traveling to Jerusalem. Everybody's saying, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Chains await you. You don't need to go there. He had prophets telling him, whoever's the owner of this belt, it just so happened to be Paul's belt, tied himself up, is going to be tied up and bound like this in Jerusalem. So here Paul says, no, I need to go there because I'm supposed to go there. And then after that, I'm supposed to go to Rome. I must see Rome after I go to Jerusalem. And so he goes, even though in every city, there were prophets and people prophesying that chains, imprisonments, and persecutions awaited him. So, just as it was prophesied, so it happened. He's persecuted. There's people fasting and waiting to kill him. An uprising happens, uproar about whether or not Paul brought a Gentile into the temple. He's there, and Paul plays the game too, you know what I'm saying? If you read your Bible, you'll know that Paul is there, and he discerns who he's talking to, knows, he's a very smart guy. But also, he's very led by the Spirit, and he knows how to get himself in and out of different situations. And so here he is, and he says, it's because of my hope of the resurrection. All of a sudden, everybody's divided. You know, the Pharisees are saying, we don't see anything wrong with this guy. The Sadducees are going, no, let's string him up, you know? And it causes all this division, and they take him, and there's this uprising. And the Romans that are overseeing Jerusalem and Judea at that time, they see what's going on, and they take him, and they say, what's happening? There's an uproar, there's an uprising, and so Paul says, you know what, I'm not going to do this, and he eventually appeals to Caesar. He says, you can't just take us like this, you can't just hold us like this, this is not right, and he appeals to Caesar, and so he's headed towards Rome now. And on his way to Rome, he's traveling by boat, okay? Now, there is a guard that's guarding Paul, and there's centurions that are overseeing all of the prisoners. And as they're traveling, the Bible tells us in Acts, the 27th chapter, if you read some of the verses around what we're going to read tonight, you'll find out that every direction that they went in this boat, it was hard for them. That they had contrary winds, that they had rough seas, that they had a rough patch on the ocean. And everything is hindering them to get where they need to go. And so here they are, and they find a place that's a safe harbor. And there they're hoping to stay there. They're hoping to just be a part of that for a little while and winter there. But you know what? Really, they didn't want to be there. They wanted to go to a better place to winter there. And Acts chapter number 27, I'm going to read verse number 15 through verse number 25 just to get us where we're going tonight, talking about living through life's storms. Acts 27, starting in verse number 15, they decide to take the advice of the ship's captain and the people that were overseeing the ship, rather than taking Paul's advice. Paul said, men, I perceive that this is not going to go well for us, that if we do this, we're going to lose the ship and we're also going to lose lives. Rather than listening to Paul, they listened to the conventional wisdom of the people around them. In Acts 27, starting in verse number 15, so when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. Now, as they got out of the harbor, they thought that they had the fair wind that they wanted. They thought that they had this cool, gentle little wind so that they could get going. And don't you know, all of a sudden a storm came up, and the storm was called Euroclidean, right? Now, you know when they name a storm. That's pretty bad, isn't it? We know that in the United States, Houston, right? Here we got Harvey, you know, Miami, we got Irma, right? When they name it, it's got to be bad. So here's Euroclidean, the nor'easter, right? It's coming against them. And it says in verse number 15, so when the ship was caught in this wind and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. That had to be scary. Verse number 16, and running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. The skiff was the little boat that they had that they could go to shore with from the big boat. And so they secured it, but look at what it says, with difficulty. Verse 17, when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the cider sands, they struck sail and so were driven. Once again, they're just letting it fly. They're just letting it go. They are just at the mercy of the winds and the waves. Verse number 18, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. So anything that they could do without, they threw overboard. If they didn't need it, if they could go without it, they said it would be better for us so that we don't run aground. See, that weight was pulling the ship down into the water more. So they said it'd be better for us not to have that just in case we go over a shallow spot. It goes on and look at what it says. It says, verse number 19, and on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. They're throwing out stuff now that they needed. Fishing equipment, the tackle. They're throwing it out with their own hands. Verse number 20, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. No sun, no moon, no stars. All they got is clouds and rain. Verse number 21, but after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Don't you just love Paul? He gets up and says, guys, I told you so, right? We have all wanted to do that. Don't you lie in church. You know you wanted to do that from time to time. You should have listened to me, right? Look at the mess that we're in right now. Paul has no problem saying that. Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now, they're probably all getting ready to kill Paul at this point, right? Don't be an I told you so. I'm going to smack you, right? But look at the next verse, verse number 22. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Now stop right there for a moment. Think about this for a second. Paul knew that he had to see Rome. There was a purpose for Paul to go to Rome. Paul needed to have that rented house. He needed to go through the things that he was going to go through in this time period. There were believers and unbelievers. There was Jews also that he was going to meet up with, people that were going to get saved because of the ministry that was going to take place of Paul in Rome. Things had to happen. God had a plan. And so here, the angel of God is sent to encourage Paul and to let him know, hey, it's going to be all right. You're not going to lose your life. And guess what else? I've heard your prayers. Paul had to be praying. How do I know that? Because look at what it says. He said, God has granted you all those who sail with you. I would imagine Paul was praying for the sailors, for the centurion, for all the other prisoners. He was praying for the people that were traveling with them on this vessel. This was most likely a grain boat. This was most likely a merchant boat that they went aboard. And so he was praying for all of these people around him. And it says, God has granted to you their lives. Why? Probably because Paul asked. Probably because he was praying for these people. Look at what it says. Verse 25, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Now the next verse he says, however, we're going to crash the boat, basically, if I can sum it up for you that way. It's all good, guys, except we're going to crash, right? We ain't going to die. But it's going to be difficult. And as I look at this, I see that there are some principles for all of us. Many times in the Bible, you find men and women going through storms. There was the storm that Jonah went through, right? Jonah went through a storm because of his disobedience. He didn't have to be in a storm, but because he disobeyed God and ran from the call of God, Jonah ended up in a storm. Then there were the disciples, right? They went through some storms. Now, they didn't do anything wrong. In fact, they were doing stuff right when they got into the middle of a storm, right? Jesus said, I want you to go and meet me on the other side. And as they went and launched out to go ahead of him, here they find themselves in the middle of a storm. They were in a storm. Why? Because they did what was right. They didn't do anything wrong, and they still ended up in a storm. But Paul's storm is different. Paul was in the middle of the plan of God. Paul was headed towards his destiny. And yet it wasn't Paul's disobedience or Paul's obedience that got him into a storm. It was the carelessness of others that got Paul into a storm. And sometimes in our lives, we find ourselves in the midst of trials, pressures, stresses that we shouldn't have to endure. Why? Because we didn't do anything wrong. And it wasn't because of what we were doing right, it was because of the decisions of other people that affected our lives that now we're in the midst of a trial, we're in the midst of a storm. Sometimes this could happen on the job. Here you are, you're working, you're doing good, you're not doing anything wrong, you're following the will of God, working as unto the Lord, and yet the boss has been cheating on the books, right? The boss has been lying, and now all of a sudden the entire department that you work for is under investigation, and you are on unpaid time at home while they figure things out, right? And now all of a sudden you've got financial problems, stresses, things that you shouldn't have to put up with. Why? Because somebody else messed up. Sometimes it's going to happen in a marriage. One of the partners in the marriage, whether it be husband or wife, here they are and they're serving God. They're doing everything right. They're not doing anything wrong. And yet because the spouse is messing around, now all of a sudden, they have to deal with the consequences. Maybe it's children. Children, they're innocent. They're not doing anything wrong, right? And they're just following God. And yet because of the decisions of the parents, they're having to suffer through things that they shouldn't have to. Many times in our lives, we'll find ourselves in storms that we shouldn't be in because of the decisions of others, because of carelessness, because they won't listen to the word, because they're making wrong choices and sowing bad seed. And we find ourselves in these times. And yet, when I look at this, I see that there's a way through. Because obviously, you can read the rest of the story. The Apostle Paul and everybody on the ship makes it out of this storm alive. Even though they named the storm, hello, come on somebody. Even though they had something that went wrong that was so bad that they named it, they put a name on it, they put a title on it, and it was contrary and it drove them, and they didn't see the sun or the moon or the stars for days. They lost all hope. In the midst of all that, Paul got a word from God, and he kept the right attitude and he kept the right heart. You don't find him ever cursing the people that didn't listen to him. All he did was say, I told you so. Now if you guys are ready to listen, I got a word for you. That was it. That was it. And I believe he probably had to remind them of that, not to lord it over them, but to serve it up so that they were listening. Guys, you should have listened to me last time. Listen to me this time. I was praying. An angel showed up. God spoke to me. We're going to be okay. And you'll find that they had to listen to him later on. In fact, there were people who were going to jump overboard, and Paul said, don't let them do that. If they do that, there's no guarantee that the rest of us will be saved. And so they took measures at the word of Paul after that because now there was a trust level. And I believe that tonight as we go through, you're going to find some principles for those of you, maybe at present, you're going through a trial. Maybe at present, you're going through a storm. Maybe you were wondering if I was in the car when you guys were driving here to church talking about the things that we just opened up. How does he know about our marriage? How does he know about what our kids are doing? How does he know what happened at work, right? But here's the deal. God wants you to be able to make it through every trial, every problem, every pressure. God wants to take you through every storm. How to make it through life's storms? I find a couple of things that they did. You know, everything in Scripture speaks. I believe that God included it not just to be a history lesson, not just to tell us the facts. That would be okay, but you know what? I wouldn't read that just for the facts. If it didn't speak to my life here and now, if it didn't have relevancy to what I'm going through right now, then what good is it? See, everything in the Word speaks. God didn't do anything by accident. This is all on purpose. And some of the things that even I see that the sailors did in the midst of a storm teach me. You know, the Bible says that the way of the Lord is in the sea, right? That you can find the paths of God, that you can find the channels of God. You can find streams of understanding as you take a look at things in nature and the way things are in the world around us. Everything speaks. And I see some things that these guys did in the middle of a storm that show us how we can make it through life's storm. First thing is this, and I like this one. It's kind of a fun one, right? They let it ride. When you're in the middle of a storm, you might as well let it ride. Somebody's letting it ride right now. Yay! Why? Because there are going to be things that are outside of your control. And I know there's a whole lot of type A personalities in the room tonight. Most likely some of you guys are that, you know, overachiever, that grade 4 point whatever plus that you had to have. You know, you micromanage everything. I get that. I understand that there's certain things that I'm like that on, certain things I could care less. But here's the deal. When you're in the middle of a storm, let it ride. What do I mean by that? Give it time. You know, in a society that's so rushed and so hurried and so instant, everything is instant. Google tells you how many 0.069 million of a millisecond they can give you 10 bajillion answers to your questions, right? In fact, I've found people that are Googling, you know, whether or not they should make major life decisions. They want to have it that fast. They don't want to wait for anything. They want a microwave mentality of life. They want to make sure that everything is instant, everything is hot as soon as they want it. If it's not 30 seconds or less, it's free, right? And we feel like we're entitled to all this kind of stuff. We've got instant downloads. We've got on-demand movies, right? Even the church has kind of gotten into this. Now you've got the app with the instant sermons, and you don't miss anything. We've got all that kind of stuff. And that's all good, and that's all okay, and that's a wonderful perk of our society. And yet, God doesn't operate like a microwave. In fact, God will not be told it's 30 seconds or less or it's free. No, it cost God time and the blood of Jesus and all the love and all the passion and sacrifice. God will not be fit into our thoughts and our thinking about when things should happen and how things should happen. He's God. He tells us the when and the how. And so we got to let it ride. We got to give things time. Some things will work themselves out over time. You know what? There have been things that people have brought to me. They say, Pastor, we've got to make a decision right now. I'll preach a sermon, right? It rings in somebody's heart, and they see me at the back door. They say, I got to talk to you. No one else. I got to talk to just you right now. I say, call the office on Monday morning. They'll make an appointment for you. I'm about 4 weeks booked out, so you're going to have to wait about a month. If you want to talk to someone sooner than that, you can make an appointment with one of our pastors. They're about 2 weeks out. Minimum. Why do we do that? Because time often will tell whether or not it's real, whether or not it's an emergency, or whether or not it's going to go away. You know, most of the time when we make those appointments, those right now appointments, our secretaries call them when it's time for their appointment. Oh, no, actually, I don't need to meet with Pastor Dan. I don't need to meet with Pastor Joel. I don't need to meet with them. I don't need to meet with Pastor. No, it's all good. It worked itself out. I've had this one too. Oh, yeah, we did make that appointment. I forgot what it was about. Must have not been that big of a deal, right? My goodness, guys, we're in such a hurry. We want everything right now, and yet God is saying, I want you to slow down and let it ride. You know, we're told in the Bible not to judge anything before its time. We're told not to regard anything according to the flesh. We regard no man according to the flesh. What does that mean? We no longer perceive in the natural senses whether or not it's an emergency or not. If God says move, we move. If God says act, we act. If God says stop, we stop. But otherwise, we're just going to let it ride. Why? Because time will tell whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent. Give things time. Don't judge anything before it's time. See, I'll say we, all right, because I'm including myself in this. We, all right, because I do this. We can instantly jump to a conclusion. Oh, this is the worst. Oh, this is terrible. I can't believe this is happening. Oh, my goodness, it's all their fault, right? Am I the only one that does that? Anybody else want to be honest in this place? Okay, six people, praise the Lord. The rest of you guys, I'm going to be praying for you. It's like Paul in the boat. Lord, save them. We can instantly jump to conclusions, yet God is saying, I want you to give it time. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Oh, let me say that again. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. You know, that's a hard verse because don't we like beginnings? We like startups. We like new things. We like the latest and greatest. But God says the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Now, this is Hebrew poetry. This is part of the wisdom literature. And in Hebrew poetry, they will take a stanza of a verse in their poetry, and the first part will say something, and the second part will amplify the truth that you found in the first part. So they're saying something twice for emphasis. Notice what they say. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Now, here's what he's really wanting to tell you. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That's really the point of the verse, is be patient. But he didn't want to just tell you be patient because no one likes to be patient, right? Just go to the DMV and see how many happy, shiny, smiley people you will find, right? Not too many standing there in the DMV. Most of the time there's curses, there's just wicked things going on in people's thoughts and heads and text messages that are being sent out to the four corners of the earth. I can't stand this. I hate this. Why do I ever do this? Why is the government punishing us, you know? But instead of just saying be patient, which we all hate, he says the end of a thing is better than the beginning. Well, if the end is better, then I want the end. Well, then if you want to get to the end, then you better be patient. Because to be patient in spirit is better than to be proud in spirit. If you can let it ride, if you can wait it out, it's better. Why? Because it's by patience that you're going to make it to the end. But that pride that says, hey, I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to go through this. I don't know what's wrong with you all. I'm out, right? Go ahead and step off the boat and see what happens. But if you can let it ride, if you can wait things out, if you can give it time, then you're going to make it through. Someone once said, we all want a drive-through breakthrough. Right? We all want a drive-through breakthrough. And yet God has called us to be patient in spirit. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, you should have known I was going to go there, right? Great verses. Turn there with me in your Bible in the book of James, right towards the end of your Bible. James chapter number 1, he starts out the book after introducing himself. In verse number 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Right there, that goes right against our thinking, doesn't it? Why would I be happy in the middle of a storm? Verse 3, this is why. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, I'm sorry, what was that last word right there? Patience. Can we say that one more time? What was the last word?
Patience.
Patience. Ooh, I hate that verse. Don't you wish you could just like take a Sharpie and mark it out and not have to do it, or you know, a little white out there and you're good to go? And yet God knows something about us. He knows what the trial is going to produce if we go through it. It's going to produce patience. Why? Because the end of a thing is better than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, nobody in this room wants to be lacking. Nobody in this room wants to be incomplete or imperfect. Perfect meaning fully equipped and prepared, having every resource available for what you need. That's what the word perfect means. But you cannot get to the perfect without the patience. And therefore, you got to let it ride. You got to do what it takes. You know, they threw ropes underneath. They tied in. They secured things. Why? So that they could let it ride. Which brings us to the second thing that they did, is that they lightened the load. They lightened the load. Don't concern yourself with things that you don't need. Plain and simple. If you don't need to be concerned with it, then don't be concerned with it. It sounds simple, but my goodness, we are worried about everything, aren't we? My goodness, I find myself, I won't even stand in front of the microwave because I'm worried about cancer, because I've been told so many times, hello, right? And right now I got one that's about eye level, and I've had one that's been about this level, and no. I'm not getting brain cancer. I'm not getting no cancer. So we're worried about everything in our day and age. My goodness, before a kid is age 2, they get something like 60 different immunizations. We're worried about everything. And yet, if you're going to make it through the storm, you shouldn't be carrying extra weights. You need to lighten the load. You need to let go of some things. Maybe you need to stop reading so much on Facebook. Can I meddle in your business for a second? Hello. Maybe it's time to stop comparing based on whose vacation looked better on Instagram. My goodness, I was at Disneyland with the kids one time, and we were in the cars ride, and I saw a girl making duck lips at herself with her phone like this. You do it up here, you know why? Because it makes you look thinner. Maybe we need to let go of some comparison. Maybe we need to stop things that are holding us down and weighing us down so much. Because if you're going to make it through the storm, and if you're going to let it ride, if you're going to make it through to the other side, then you got to lighten the load. You got to get rid of things that are holding you back and holding you down. They took with their own hands. You know what that means? They found burdens
that they didn't need, that were weighing them down, and they took responsibility for it, and with their own hands, they tossed it over. And can I get on a soapbox for a second? I'm meddling in your business. Now I'm going to get on a soapbox. I think in our day and age, we feel like we're so entitled, and everybody else should do stuff for us. The government should be feeding us. They should be paying for this. You know, I should be getting a free education. I should be doing all this stuff. And even in the ministry, right? Give me a ministry platform. You make me something. Listen, take it into your own hands. Be responsible. God gave you the life that you live. God gave you the stewardship of the family that you are in. God gave you a purpose and a calling. And I think it would benefit all of us in our nation and in our society if when people started looking at the top, they were handed a mop bucket and said, get to work. I'll get off the soapbox. I'll get off right there, right there. I think I've said enough. But we need to unload some burdens. I need to unload that burden. Hallelujah. But find any burdens that you shouldn't be bearing and unload them. Throw them overboard with your own hands. Get rid of the unnecessary weights. 1 Peter 5:7, very familiar verse. I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. I like how it said it. It says, pour out all your worries and stress upon him. And look at this. Leave them there. Don't pick them back up. Don't go back and get them. Don't pick that care back up. Why? For he always tenderly cares for you. Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about where you're going to live. The flowers, they're more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. They didn't spin. They didn't weave. They didn't dye. None of that stuff. And yet today they're here and beautiful, and tomorrow they get cast in the furnace. The sparrows, they didn't sow seeds and little rows and go and get water and irrigate and all that kind of stuff. No, God provided for each and every one of them. And not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing. How much more valuable are you than a sparrow and a flower? Jesus died for you. Jesus didn't die for a sparrow. Jesus didn't die for a flower. Jesus died for you and for me. And if he takes care of them, how much more will he take care of your needs? You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. I can't tell you how many times in the Bible it says, fear not, fear not, fear not. I'm so afraid of terror. I'm so afraid of what's going to happen. I'm afraid of nuclear war. I'm afraid of the second Cold War. I'm afraid of all the different stuff that's going on in our nation. I'm afraid of microwaves. I don't know what's going on, Pastor. But we're so afraid. We hear about someone else going through something. We fear, oh no, am I going to go through that too? And yet, all throughout the Bible, you'll find it says, fear not. We don't have to carry worries. We don't have to carry fears. You don't have to carry anxiety or unnecessary cares that weigh you down. Here's one other one that you don't have to carry. You don't have to carry unforgiveness. That is a burden that you don't have to bear. Forgive. Let it go. Doesn't mean that you approve of what they did. Doesn't mean that you're making it okay. What it means is that you're releasing the power for it to weigh you down and hurt you any longer. That's what it means. When you release under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgave you, by the way, all of your sins. My goodness, the Bible says to forgive as God in Christ also forgave you. I know what God forgave me of. And if God forgave me of all that, then guess what? I can forgive them of all they've done. That doesn't mean put yourself in a position to be abused again. Right? You still have to guard your heart with all diligence. Okay? There was still wisdom that they operated in the Bible. You can find that all throughout the Bible. You don't have to put yourself in those positions. You don't got to be friends with everybody. That should be a big weight off of all of our shoulders. Divisive brother warned once. After that, have nothing to do with them. Thank you, Jesus, for that verse. Because if they're going to continue to divide and be nasty, then I don't have to hang around with them. If somebody's in sin in the body of Christ, anybody named among you in the church, a fornicator, and he goes through all this stuff, right? He said, don't even have dinner with him. You don't have to, but you do have to forgive. And you have to let those burdens, you can't carry those burdens. You were never designed to, you never made to. You were made to release those things, and it won't weigh you down any longer. Forgive and let live. Just let it go. See, I like what Augustine said. He said, if you're suffering from a bad man's injustice, forgive him. Lest there be two bad men. I like that.
See, Pastor Jim one time was saying something in one of our staff meetings. He said, just because they did something wrong doesn't give us the right to be something wrong. We got to forgive. We got to let go of the burdens. Got to let go of the cares, the worries, the anxieties, the weights that weigh us down. Maybe it's even something so stupid. You know, I mentioned Facebook, or, you know, maybe it's too much television. Maybe it's too much news media. Maybe it's too much talk radio. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's an unusual addiction to something like sports or hobbies or those sorts of things that's taking you out of the way. Maybe it's not one of those things that's not bad, but it's not good. You know what I mean? That's weighing you down. Take those things, cast them away if you're going through a storm, and you'll make it. The last one, I didn't learn from a sailor, but I learned from the Apostle Paul. And this is what he did. Pray and find hope. If you're going through a storm, and it's not a storm because you were disobedient. If you're going through a storm because you're disobedient, repent. That's how Jonah got out, right? There in the belly of the whale, he prays. He says, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. You're God, right? Beautiful prayer of repentance. Blech, there he is on the shores of Nineveh. Okay, get back to work. The disciples, they're in the middle of the storm because they did everything right. And yet, in the middle of that storm, Jesus met them every time. Or they met him, right? Hey, don't you care that we're dying up here? And he's like, what? And he woke up and he rebuked the storm. They had God encounters in the middle of those storms. And I believe that that was the purpose of God, because Jesus was showing himself to be the Son of God in those instances, showing them the power that he had over nature, showing them the power that he had to take care of them and to carry them through. See, there may be a storm that you're going through when you're doing everything right, but God's going to meet you in the middle of that storm. But when you're in the middle of a storm, and it's not because you were wrong, and it's not because you were right, but it's because somebody else was stupid, pray and find hope. Let me remind you of an old song Joseph Scriven wrote in 1855. He wrote this to his mama, who was across the ocean in Ireland. It goes a little something like this. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In the middle of the storm that you're in, let it ride, lighten the load, but pray and find hope. Pray for the people around you. Pray for the people that made those bad decisions. Pray for their salvation. Pray for God's glory to be shown. Pray for their safety. Pray for them. God answers those kind of unselfish prayers. Look at what it says in Romans 12:12 in the Voice. He says, do not forget to rejoice, for hope is always just around the corner. Hold up through the hard times that are coming and devote yourselves to prayer. We ought to be the most prayingest people. Let every storm not just drive you around and whip you around. Let it drive you to your knees to pray to Almighty God, who can speak to the storms and they cease. Today, if you're going through the midst of a problem, a trial, a pressure, a pain. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's someone else's fault. Maybe you've been doing everything right and you're in the middle of a storm. Listen, if it's your fault, you know what to do. Turn from your ways. Repent and go back God's ways. God will get you back on track. If you're doing everything right, God's going to show up and do something awesome. So lift up your head and smile and look around and see where Jesus is walking on the water. Call out to him and God will call out to you. Come, let's do something miraculous together. But if you're in the middle of a storm tonight, and it's nothing you did, but it's because other people around you have made choices and you're reaping where they've sown. Guess what? You can pray and you can find hope. And God will carry you through. You have the patience to let it ride, to see what God does over time. You'll be able to lighten the load and unload those things to God in prayer. And you will have the hope. Even if you don't see the sun, the moon, and the stars for many days, guess what? God will give you an answer. He will send his angel. He will stand beside you. He will encourage you and give you a word. Come on, somebody. Can you give the Lord a great big praise tonight if you got something from the Word of God? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.